Hey folks, welcome to another interesting episode of the podcast show, Trivia Talks. I'm your host, Tarun Mundra, and in today's episode, we'll be discussing about the technology which is in the limelight from last one decade. Yes, it's the blockchain technology. Due to the surging price of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency, we have this huge hype about this technology and everyone is very, very curious to know more about it. So to understand it in a very simpler and basic manner, we have one of the best person from this field, famously known as the grandfather of blockchain technology, Mr. Raj Kapoor. Raj sir is the founder of India Blockchain Alliance and the India STEM Alliance. He is on the advisory board member at several blockchain companies also. Sir is working to position blockchain and work with government entities, international bodies and large-scale enterprises. Sir has also helped organize Africa's biggest blockchain and cryptocurrency event across major cities in Nigeria and currently replicating it in India. Raj sir speaks regularly in tech events in India, Nigeria and across Africa. Apart from blockchain, sir is also skilled in robotics, drone technology, Raspberry Pi and AI. In today's episode, sir will be answering basic questions about the blockchain technology, how it works, what is the future of it, what are the career options available in it. And he will be also discussing about the cryptocurrency, like for someone who would like to start trading or investing in it. He will be providing the platform which are available. And the entire conversation is very interesting and exciting. So without any further ado, let's start this awesome and amazing discussion with Mr. Raj Kapoor. Let's go. Well, hello, sir. Welcome to Trivia Talks. It's an honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for accepting this offer and joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, guys. It's absolutely Tarun. Thank you for the initiative. I'm glad you're doing something great for the youngsters. Keep it up.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. So, sir, moving towards the first question before we talk about our understanding about the blockchain technology, I would like to ask you, like, how your journey started in this particular field of technology?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sure a lot of people who just know a little bit about blockchain or are aware about blockchain do understand one thing. Blockchain started actually just about 12 years ago. And the actual really serious blockchain started just about 3 years ago. Now, I started my journey, say about almost nine years ago. Some people call me grandfather of blockchain because I've been in blockchain so long, much more than any other youngsters and the millennials, you know. So it started like this. I was very intrigued by Bitcoin. Everybody was during that time. They still are, for that matter. I said, wow, somebody created a currency. Somebody can do stuff. They can transfer monies, buy stuff at some places. But I said, more than that, what intrigued me was the underpinning platform, the platform on what it was running. I said, how can somebody make a currency, people trade without knowing each other, without seeing their faces, without bank accounts, without Visa, MasterCard, bank, nothing in the middle? That fascinated me. And that set me on an exploratory journey to figure out how does this damn platform work? What is the software? What is the art? What's happening? And then I discovered the blockchain. Wow, it was the underpinning system in which it was working. And I'll enjoy that. I really went delve deep into it so that we could understand not just trading coins or bitcoins. We can use blockchain for so many other applications. And well, 8 years back, nobody thought that it would be the fastest growing technology platform anywhere in the world. And that's how my journey started. 8 years back, Bitcoin, and then blockchain.
Right. So, sir, as many of them are not aware about the blockchain technology, actually, because they think that Bitcoin and blockchain are same, right?
Yes.
So, what exactly is blockchain? Like, if we keep aside the cryptocurrency part, what blockchain can do to the society?
Yeah. Right. Actually, blockchain creates, it's a disruptive technology, something like what we say the internet was 25 years back. 25 years back, when the internet came, you were probably not even born or you were very small. I don't know. But when that happened, it completely disrupted every aspect of business, at least to start off with. Businesses started adopting. You know that, and I know that in the last 25 years, we've seen the maximum growth of organizations. Look at the Amazons, look at the Flipkarts, look at the big boys like Twitter, Facebook, all of them, they're all bigger than all the traditional industries. And they are all because of a birth of a disruptive technology. That time it was internet. Now, in this digital age, 2020, and even 5 years, 10 years back, what is the biggest thing which is being generated every day? Data. Data is being generated by the trillions every second, gigabytes and terabytes of data being, and in also all forms. They could be internet data, they could be financial data. Everything is digitized. Everything is digitized. And the minute it gets digitized, it becomes data. Today, data is the new gold. Why? I'll ask a question to anybody listening in. You must have heard of Baiju's, you must have heard of Oyo, you heard of Big Basket, you heard of Flipkart. All these big names are there. What is one thing common in all these companies? What's one thing common? I'll tell you what's one thing which is common. A, they all make losses, massive losses. That's one. But they have something on which the basis of which they get funding, and that is data. Now, data is the new gold. Now, how? But data is very vulnerable. It's very easy to steal data, to destroy data, to manipulate data, et cetera, in the current way it is stored. You put in all your cybersecurity stuff, no problem. There are hackers who can get through it in minutes. Okay. Data is not secure. You recently must have read Big Basket's data leak. Just 2 weeks back, 2 crore databases were available on the net. 2 crore families, all their data, all their individuals, the bank details, everything was available on the net. Do you think that's safe? I don't think so. All right. So how do you protect this data? What is the better way to protect data? Some people say, okay, let's put a good cyber layer, cybersecurity layer, et cetera, et cetera. It still can get hacked. It's not 100% secure because the biggest problem is it is all centralized. Centralized means in one place. It's just like you having a diary. You put all your information in the diary. Somebody can steal some pages. Somebody can delete some stuff from your diary. Somebody can erase some stuff. Somebody can just damn steal the diary, right? Anything can happen. Now imagine if you have stored all the information which you have in different diaries and different places. It's much safer. Everything won't be destroyed at the same time. Nothing will happen. In all probability, somebody will say, oh, forget it. I can't get all the data. It's in too many places, so let it go. It won't get hacked. Blockchain does just that. It decentralizes the data. It splits it into thousands of blocks. And each of the blocks have three basic principles. They are timestamped, so you can trace them. They are immutable. Once the data is there, it cannot be removed. It cannot be altered or manipulated. And third, they are linked to the previous. It's a consensus mechanism. It works without people knowing each other. It is transparent and therefore trustworthy. And therefore the best option to secure data. That's one part of it. The second part of it is, you know, blockchains create a concept called smart contracts, which is like automating a business. Do you guys know that today, in the next 5 years, the work is on right now, in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll have organizations that run on the blockchain, that is to secure the data. That's one, to make it decentralized, second, and then you can have smart contracts to run whatever business you're running right now. Uber is moving towards that. They want to automate every process and run it on the blockchain. So the business runs on it by itself and the data is secured on the blockchain. Nobody can hack it, enter it, or delete it. That's what made blockchain so popular. Finally, what blockchain also does is it actually creates transparency. I then decide whether I want to share my data or not. You know something, even as we speak, more than 500,000 marketing agencies across this country have your data. It's not safe. They know everything, your PAN card, your passport, whatever you put in a digital format, it's all with them. Do you think it's safe? I don't think so. So that's what blockchain does. It just makes everything much more easier. safer, secure, and therefore trustworthy. And the best part, it works with every technology. It works with artificial intelligence. It works with cybersecurity. It works with cloud computing. It's working with IoT, that's Internet of Things. It works with everything. So basically, it's an inclusive sort of a technology rather than an intrusive technology. It doesn't replace any technology. It works with them. That's why it's so successful and so popular today.
So, sir, like understanding this particular thing, the cryptocurrency is also being used, like the blockchain is also being used in that also, right?
Yeah.
Then why this is like there is this hype of, you know, the Bitcoin is bubble or other cryptocurrencies, you know, are going to burst in the future.
Right.
Because it's a very secure part. Then why they are not accepting it? Okay. Even our Indian banks are not accepting it as of now.
Right. I'll explain that to you. And I'll explain that in a very simple way. So cryptocurrency is running on a blockchain. It is not blockchain by itself, okay? That's one part.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you know that today the price of a Bitcoin is about $19,000 today, right? Yeah, so that's a lot of money. In this year itself, it's gone up 260%. You would have just put if you had put a couple of lakh rupees in the beginning of the year, you would be a millionaire by now. So it's that's how sound it is. But there are pitfalls like any other investment. However, Bitcoin is not the only cryptocurrency, you know that. There are more than 2,000 different cryptocurrencies and they have cryptocurrency exchanges as well. Now, Ethereum is a cryptocurrency, Ripple is, there are lots of them. You and I can actually sit down and create a cryptocurrency for ourselves, you know? I can do that right now, sitting at home, create a cryptocurrency, but what's the use for me? It's no use for me. Nobody's going to take it. We have to make the adaptability worldwide, and we can only do that if we make platforms and build communities around that, just like Ethereum, Hyperledger, Algorand, many others have come like this, Ripple, Solidity, many of these types have come. Now, these have created, and it has taken them a lot of time and effort and money, but they've invested a lot of their time, money, and effort in creating these platforms on which blockchain products and solutions are built. So the currency, cryptocurrency, is pretty much useless unless you do that. Now, by the way, I'm creating, along with my team, we are creating Africa's first AgriCoin. It's a cryptocurrency for African farmers for trading within their communities or in the agricultural space only. So that's a very big first. So cryptocurrencies, now you asked a very good question. Why is it going up? Could it burst, the bubble burst? Of course, any bubble can burst. But in Bitcoin, why is the price surging in spite of COVID and all sorts of things going on? I'll tell you why. In 2140, the last Bitcoin will be mined. After 2140, there'll be no longer mining any Bitcoins. Unless something new comes up, that's 20 years from now. But as of now, the Bitcoin community it's been passed as an internal law, so to speak, as you can say, an internal consensus. And consensus is one of the pillars of blockchain. Everybody in the community agrees. Yes, so 2140, last Bitcoin will be coined. Therefore, there will be a scarcity of Bitcoin. There will not be a scarcity of other cryptocurrencies. But of Bitcoin, yes. Therefore, Bitcoin is growing very fast. Others are performing on their merit. For example, any good corporate, it performs well, the share prices go up. It performs badly, it goes down. Similarly, just the same way, the more adaptability of the platforms, the higher the value goes. So that's why other currencies will remain, even if Bitcoin doesn't get mined anymore. But Bitcoin right now is everybody's, he's the apple of everybody's eye right now. Bitcoin, oh boy. People have made Bitcoin money and Bitcoin like what? They've also lost money. Just like any other investment which has got its inherent risks. You have to understand a little bit about crypto trading and then you can make money. Otherwise, don't try it.
Right. So, sir, like, should we look it as a trading method? Because everyone is trying to, invest in it and they're trying to earn money from it. So should we look into it like that? Or should we invest in we should forget about it? We will wait for the future.
See, it's just like the stock market. There are some people who buy and sell on a daily basis and some people who say, okay, I'm going to buy now and I'm going to look at it 5 years from now. So if you're looking at making fast money, you can make fast money and good money on this. However, you should know your fundamentals and technicals very well. And not just Bitcoin. There are 2,000 plus different cryptocurrencies.
Yeah,
You can pick up any one of them. I can share any amount of websites, you know, web exchanges. Do you know also that India has got its own exchange, which is ready to be launched the minute the government gives clarity?
Oh, wow. Called, no, sir.
Yes, it's called Bitmudra, B-I-T, Mudra, by the way.
Okay.
And it's done by one of my, I've been very closely involved with that in that project, and creating it with one of my students who is as young as 25 years old or 26 years old. So between the two of us, we've created Bitmudra, and in such a way that it's going to be, it's already functioning as an exchange. But once it becomes in India, when we have our own currencies, we'll be able to do a lot of trading in India. Right now, it's not technically allowed because we don't have the rules, regulations, compliances, and frameworks around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the RBI. We need to have some sort of a mechanism to check it. Otherwise, the Supreme Court has allowed trading. Now, that's one important part of blockchain. The security factor, the adaptability factor, the fact that you can change and people have made money and fortunes in a currency. Now, use the same principles for blockchain on which it is running. Decentralized, you can't hack into it. Got a timestamp. You can't bullshit anybody that you did this some time back. It's all timestamp. You cannot remove a block once it's made. You can, yeah, you cannot change the block. You can remove it, but you cannot ever change it. You cannot make any changes. If there's wrong information in it, you pull out the block, revoke the block, and build a new block. But again, it has to link with the previous block. In blockchain, the blocks all work with each other. There are thousands of blocks. So even if somebody tries to hack one block, your data, it will stop immediately. And in the next, you cannot block, you cannot hack into thousands of blocks. But right now, everything is in a single block in a centralized system. You can hack into that. Currencies are one part of it. The blockchain has implementations in every other sector. You name it, I'll tell you where it is. The government of India, do you know, has a national roadmap strategy on blockchain? Do you know there's an official paper on that? In Jan 2020, I think it was Jan or Feb, yeah. Niti Aayog, I'm sure you've heard of Niti Aayog.
Yeah.
They have issued a white paper on the India blockchain strategy. That is the first paper which they released after the two-part series. But look at that. It has taken out on blockchain. It has not taken out on any other thing. It's not taken up AI strategy document or a cybersecurity one, not yet as yet. But they took out on blockchain. Why? Because blockchain is the future for the next 20 years.
Wow.
In India, about 90 projects are going on right now on blockchain. And I'm not talking about cryptocurrency. I'm talking about blockchain.
Yeah. Yeah, sir, like as you said, like you are going to, you're working with someone who will be going to launch the exchange in India itself. But sir, they were already having like some, Zippay was there, Coinex was there, Unicoin was there, like various other like exchanges were there. But they are trying to shut them down. And I'm trying to understand this. If cryptocurrency is the safest technology to keep our money safe, then why they are not investing in it rather than they are trying to ban it? Because in any way, banks are, getting, many of them are scamming the banks and they are taking money and they are running away from the country. Even after that, like, why don't bank allow the cryptocurrency part?
Yeah, very good question. The cryptocurrency, see, the banks are adopting blockchain. ICICI Bank, along with seven other banks, have made a consortium and they are all going to adopt blockchain. And you know why banks are adopting blockchain? They already have a digital settlement system. So why have another one? Or why go to blockchain? You know why? If banks don't do that, that part of the bank, that is the settlement system, that is when you and I exchange money or have any transactions, Forex, all that will be shut down because they cannot make commissions now. Because whenever there's a transaction, there's a small cost towards a commission paid toward money transfer or anything else. Bitcoin completely smashed that idea. They said, you don't need a middleman. You don't need a bank. You don't need a MasterCard, Visa card, nobody. I can send money to anybody I feel like. And even if they're in a remote area, they'll get it. But banks said, well, we can't fight it, so we'll join it. If you can't beat them, join them. That's the mantra. They joined them. That's why a lot. They are spending $50 billion globally to get onto the blockchain. That's why banks are not saying no to blockchain. They're saying, well, we'll make friends with it because we can't make enemies with it. That's one. Now, your second question was, part of the question, so to speak, was, if it's not safe. Now, many of these exchanges, which are trying to shed, because they're trying to shut them down let's put it this way. Whenever we have something which we don't know, the fear of the unknown, this is called the fear of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. Is it true? Is it false? It's a bubble. Are they real? Because it's not tangible. It's not printed currency. It's not gold. It's not stocks and shares that you can hold, correct? It's a digital currency, and only digital is the first and only digital currency. Now, what happens if suddenly everything shuts down? Is my money gone? A lot of questions enter people's minds. It entered mine as well when I took my chances. It's what you know as a volatile market, right? A volatile market has two objectives. It either makes you very rich or it can make you a pauper, depending on how and when you've jumped into the bandwagon. So good study of the market is essential. That's one. So fear of the unknown was the biggest reason. Second, there are not too many compliances. Right now, our entire financial system is run and governed and overlooked by the Reserve Bank of India, or what is known as the central bank. In Bitcoin, because there is no single owner, nobody owns the Bitcoin. Nobody owns the blockchain. It's decentralized, owned by hundreds, and it's everybody's independent in it, just like the internet. Nobody owns the internet. Same way, because there is a fear. What happens if suddenly all this blockchain community decides, all right, that's it, no more coins, no more nothing. We are cashing our money and getting out. Things like that play in people's mind. The thing is, we may or may not have cryptocurrencies, or they may go bust, but we'll always have blockchain. Cryptocurrency has given us a platform. Blockchain will never go away. So we learn lessons from cryptocurrency, apply them on blockchain, and then roll it out for the greatest, let's say, greatest invention since sliced bread, or the greatest in a platform since internet. So cryptocurrencies may come and may go, but blockchain will remain forever. And do you know one more thing? I don't know whether you know that there is a British fintech firm, a British company, and on October 26th, they announced that they're opening. It's announced with the Casha. There's the name of the firm, Casha, C-A-S-H-A-A, Casha. It's a fintech firm. It's partnering in India with United Multi-State Credit Cooperative Society to build crypto financial institutions called Unicas. This venture, which they're actually starting, are going to have 34 physical branches in North India, including Delhi, Ahmedabad, Jaipur, where they're going to have crypto products in these banks. That itself is a very strong statement that cryptocurrency is here to stay. It's not going to go. They have already announced it on 26th October. They're going to start next year. It would allow, and the same Casha India is going to be called, Casha India will allow Indian businessmen and individuals, anybody, open a saving accounts to buy, store, save all cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Gas, everything. Everything. That isn't that speaking a lot? Isn't that saying, well, people are accepting it. People are opening crypto banks. I mean, that's a big thing in India. Is opening physical crypto bank branches, and not one, not two, but 34 of them, and they have got the permission. See, what happens is actually most of us Indians are not aware about cryptocurrency as an online product. And we think, okay, whatever the government says is correct or not. Frankly, India is actually is a very cash-based economy. We all know that. We know that the demonetization screwed us all up, yeah. But this is going to, you know, there is not going to be any ban in crypto in India, for that matter. Do you know why there's not going to be ban? They have allowed this recently in October. That's one. Secondly, you must have heard that, you know, Facebook has taken a huge stake in Reliance Jio, correct?
Yeah.
Why have they taken it? Not because they love Mr. Ambani or Reliance very much, but because Reliance Jio has got a very large network of subscribers. And they want to roll out their currencies. Facebook's got its own crypto called Libra.
Libra, yeah, yeah.
That's going to be rolled out. They want to make all Indians get on to Libra over the next 3 to 5 years. They have a long-term strategy. And you know how the closeness of business houses with the government, they'll make sure that doesn't shut down. That's for sure. There will be, of course, checks and balances, frameworks, but they won't shut it down. It will go through. These two are very strong indicators. Casha India coming in with 34 branches of crypto products like Bitcoin, Ethereum. You will be able to buy and store and save them just like any other asset. That's big. It's big in the blockchain space. It's big. And second is Jio and the investment of Facebook in Reliance Jio. These two are very strong indicators. Now, anything can happen. We are speculating here, but the speculations are based on very hard facts. It's not in thin air.
Right. Yeah. And so the same thing happened in the US also. Like the earlier time, they were not accepting it. But after that, even now, JP Morgan have changed their statement. They were like, Bitcoin is the future and it's going to be a huge success in the future. The
Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan were very big critics of it. And they've changed their whole, they've changed their whole narrative. They've changed their whole, they sing a different tune now. In fact, there are many in US, there are more than about 8 to 10,000 crypto ATMs also. Are you aware of that?
No, so I was aware about the Japan part, but not about the US thing.
There you are. They've got it. Not only have they got it, but they have those ATMs. It's quite fascinating. I'll tell you some more fascinating stuff, just for, you know, just to have a little fun. A little bit of Bitcoin and a little bit of blockchain, I'll tell you. Do you know also know what the first Bitcoins were used for? Any idea?
So someone purchased pizza, I think.
Yes, two Papa John pizzas.
Yeah.
So that's something nice. Do you also know that in a day, approximately 350,000 Bitcoin transactions are performed every day at an average?
Oh my God.
Do you know that even in India, you're going to have a billion users in some time? Billion users, that's almost everybody. All right. Then do you also know that, you know, Bitcoin is accepted by Starbucks, Tesla, Virgin Galactic, Peach Airlines, Microsoft, Shopify? You must have heard of some of these names, right? They are
exactly.
And very soon you'll have an Amazon probably doing the same thing. So it's not just a bubble. It's something real. Nobody puts bank branches around bubbles because they're steep. Ethereum, etc., whatever we call, their platforms are being used to create products. And people can see the tangibility of, they can see it's happening right there in front of them. Large corporates are using them. If you go to my website, you'll see the first news on there, which is a little pop-up bubble. You'll click on it and say, well, the entire African agriculture sector, $112 million project on blockchain with us. That's amazing. A country like Africa too has woken up and said, wow, we want to be in on blockchain. So that's pretty big. Also, blockchain is changing not just the financial sector. Every other sector is being impacted. Manufacturing, marketing, digital marketing. And if you blend in blockchain with that, and I've done a lot of research and work on that, and I teach that as well, you can save on your Google spend, Facebook ads, and all that stuff, which you're really spending a lot of money. You can bring down the cost by almost 75% with an ROI increasing from, you know, basically your 2 to 5% success rate you have, that increases to over 40 to 60%. That's an amazing thing. You bring down the cost and you increase your ROIs. That's fantastic, isn't it? It's not there. So supply chain, logistics, healthcare, agriculture, retail industry, the airline industry, everybody is using that. Charities are using that. Recently, basically all domains, I can keep on going on that. But recently also Forbes had an article in that, and it said, we won't trust anything unless it's on the blockchain. That's because it's trustworthy. Imagine that, say a World Bank or something gives money to India, Africa, Bangladesh, for whatever, for education or healthcare or, you know, infrastructure. They say, guys, how do we track this? Put it on the blockchain. We can track it. We know the authenticity of whatever you're putting up. We know, don't just give us a report. Anybody can give us a report. Let it be on digital media. Everybody knows, anybody can manipulate that. I can change data. I can do anything. You can do it. But now it's on the blockchain. Who's going to do it? That's trust. That's what they want, trust. You know, you must have heard of McAfee, John McAfee, the guy who made
McAfee. Yeah.
You know what he said? He has a very famous saying that you can't stop things like Bitcoin. It'll be everywhere, and the world will have to readjust. More important, the world governments will have to readjust. This was said by John McAfee, and boy, is he correct. Wow. And you know, that is not only is a very telling statement, it's a statement which is going to be there echoing everywhere. You can't change Bitcoin. You'll have to readjust your government policies. You have to readjust the way you look at the new currency. You have to really look at the future. And then there's this guy, you know, very nice fellow. His name is William Maguire. He is a startup guru, basically. So what, you know, what he said before everything was database. Is it in the database? You got database? That question now with blockchain is going to be replaced. So the old question would have been, is it in the database? It's going to be replaced by, is it on the blockchain? That is a telling statement, big statement. And that's very important. Of course, you have the Jack Ma's, the Bill Gates, you have the Richard Branson's, all speaking volumes about blockchain. We even have our own prime minister, you know, during this World India, US India Business Council, he singled out blockchain and 5G technologies as technologies which are called frontier technologies, not just technologies that change or make ease of business or simplify processes, but they can have a very strong socio-economic impact. Guys are getting, you know, another thing. Now, these are all the different things about blockchain, but what is good for youngsters? Guys, there are only in India certified 5,000 to 6,000 blockchain professionals. Just 5,000 to 6,000. And the requirement, I can't even guess. It's in lakhs as of right now. That's the supply and demand. And that's why blockchain careers are massive. You know, I can send you links and links of newspaper cuttings. Blockchain developers demand through the roof. Blockchain professionals, Economic Times carried that article, salaries are sky high. So typically, if a developer is getting, say, hypothetically, a package of about 10 lakh rupees, a blockchain developer most likely will get 20 to 25 lakh rupees for a fresher starting off. Now, isn't that a good reason to embrace blockchain? Whatever you're doing, if you're doing Python, you're doing artificial intelligence, you do whatever you like, no problem. Blockchain will work with that. You can buffer your entire careers with blockchain because you won't get jobs. You'll make a career in that because blockchain is not going anywhere for the next 25 years.
Right.
That's big.
So, sir, I was asking regarding the career part only, like most of our listeners are students. So how a non-tech student can learn about blockchain and what are the career option for them after learning about it?
All right. A very nice question. Very nice question because blockchain is one technology that has brilliant jobs for both techies and non-techies. Now, do you know something? I am not a techie. I'm an MBA. I'm an MBA, and that also went 1980s. So many years back. But I enjoyed it so much. Today, I can work on Python. I can work on DevOps. I can do Stack. I can do Agile. I can work with Hyperledger, Ethereum. Why and how? Because I don't have it in my head that I need no technology. You need no technology? Great. You don't know technology? Replace that with passion. So there are jobs. And I'll tell you what sort of jobs there are. There are plenty of jobs for guys in the tech and non-tech space. Let me talk about the technology ones first because technology is what people think this is all about. It's great. Now we have blockchain developers. We have blockchain engineers. We have blockchain quality engineers. We have blockchain technical architects. Now, these are all very well-paying jobs, in India because there's a huge demand. Now, not only in India, a lot of Silicon Valley outsources high-end projects in blockchain to India. That's great salaries you're getting, guys. I just had, there was a placement drive which we'd done with some of our students down south, and won't believe it, the starting salaries, I can't name them because I can't name the company. It'll be wrong to name it right now. But bottom line is, I was surprised. I said, guys, we must have worked 20 years before we got the salary. These guys got it right away. Fantastic. They were all blockchain guys, blockchain developers. Then if somebody is doing, say, big data, you know, data analytics, etc., they got great careers too. You bring in blockchain with data analysis and you can become a blockchain research analyst. Or you can become a blockchain data scientist. That's paying very well. An average data scientist, it earns minimum of 10 to 12 lakh rupees starting. That's not bad at all. You can even be a risk analyst. All these jobs, fantastic. Now let's look at some of the other jobs. Somebody says blockchain product managers. Wow, what's that? they manage blockchain products. They are one of the highest paid blockchain careers, blockchain project managers, one of the highest paid guys, and these are non-tech jobs. That's the salary. So you have your engineers, developers, architects, etc. in the tech side. Then you have the blockchain managers, you have the tech recruiters, you have product managers on this side. And do you also know that if anybody does blockchain and decides after a few years of experience in India, they decide to migrate to say Canada or say Australia, do you know that they get preferential visa treatments and they're fast tracked? And do you know the salary in Australia, starting salary with somebody who is about 2 or 3 years experience, it's $130,000 starting up front. It can go right up to $300,000. I do a lot of work with Australia. We are partners with the government there. In the government of Queensland, we are partners. We are doing a center of excellence along with them and doing some projects along. So that's why I know there's a huge demand. You know, their prime minister in June, the Scott Morrison, he actually made blockchain a part of his job maker agenda. What is the job maker agenda? That's the jobs you need. And that's 25,000 jobs in 2 years in Australia. And he knows very well they're not all going to come from there. They're going to come from many other places, India being the chief place. India will benefit the most. Guys who are going to migrate to Australia are going to really make a killing, big time. So you got project managers. You have blockchain marketing managers. They aren't paid very well, and they're in big demand. Then people who've done a little bit of law and compliance and say they who are chartered accountants or in that space, they can become blockchain attorneys. They understand the legal aspect of blockchain, the legal aspects of cryptocurrencies in different countries. They're like a chartered accountant of blockchain, so to speak. They are in big demand. And of late, I've been seeing, and I've been actually working with a lot of companies, we've got a whole bunch of crypto journalists coming out. We've got crypto community managers. We've got blockchain and business development. And we've got ICO officers, initial coin offering advisors, not IPO. ICO, those guys who are doing finance, banking, MBA, ICO advisors. Look at the jobs coming up. Have you ever heard of about 16, 17 different options in one particular technology? Very difficult, very rare. That's, again, the opportunity. That's the opportunity. And you know that last year, by the way, just as a little bit of a trivia, last year to now, the demand growth for engineering roles in different spaces, and the engineering roles being, you know how they are, blockchain engineers, security engineers, they grew, and they grew like this. The blockchain engineers grew 517% compared to a security engineer, 132%, a data engineer, 38%, machine learning engineer, 27%, and a front-end engineer, about 3 or 4%. That's the difference, and that's what it makes. So that's what it is, buddy.
And sir, how one can learn about it? Because, you know, full-time degree is not right now available on the all the like medium, you can say. But how one should learn about blockchain technology and they can apply for these roles?
You get in touch with me anytime. I'll be more than happy to advise you on the right blockchain programs, because there are a lot of nonsense floating around. Somebody says, I can do, and I say, I won't name the platforms, for $600, $500. In 1.5 hours, you can't learn the damn thing. That's for sure. We spent years learning it. So I will be happy to guide any student interested. You have my coordinates. Get in touch with me. I'm on LinkedIn. Anytime. I'll be happy. Depending on what and which space you come from, what is your background, I'll then guide you how to go about choosing the right career path for you guys. No problem.
Sure, sir. Like, I will be adding the link in the description so that it can help other listeners also. So you can check out sir's profile on LinkedIn. It will help you in knowing more about the blockchain technology. Absolutely. So moving towards the last question, which is also a very big problem which Indians will face. Like, we have 65% of the population are rural, right? And yes, the awareness about the blockchain technology is lacking right now. So, like, what do you think, like, how much time India will need to adapt the technology in the near future? Because other countries are adapting it very quickly.
Right. Very good question. In fact, it's a very, very relevant question. There are two things. One of them, they are in rural India. And second thing, they don't have internet connectivity as good as us, right?
Yeah, right.
Two challenges. Now, the first challenge is addressing, we as an alliance are an organization which our job is to spread awareness on blockchain. That's the first thing. Not just in urban India. Urban India is fine, but we are also doing it in tier 2 and tier 3 cities. We have actually developed modules right from school level. So We need to learn it. Earlier we learn it, earlier we adapt. So we are actually doing a lot of programs in rural India, making them understand the very basics of blockchain to start with. Second, we are doing a lot of training with them to actually help them understand the technology of blockchain, because they may not understand English very well, but they understand technology. So we are harnessing that power which we have, and we are doing that. India Blockchain Alliance is actually doing just that. Like this, we have some other partners. We have in our team about 30, 40 international and domestic partners whose outreach programs are to reach out to the last denominator. That is the guys who are living in tier 3, tier 4 cities. That's where real talent comes from. And I'm sure sometime they will do that. Now, the second part is coming, and there's a problem. There's no internet connectivity. All right, sometimes. Now we have actually a device which we have patented, by the way. You take that device, it doesn't require electricity, and it does not require any internet connection. It's a patented device which is formed by our consortium. We've got the device, we put in our programs inside that. You put it in a classroom, anywhere in a classroom, and within a certain radius, it generates its own internet connectivity. It's like an internet connectivity, and people can, you know, students can come there, sit down, do all their internet based work, mails, check their mails, do research, learn. We have learning programs going on. That's a big thing. We've actually penetrated a market where people don't even look at them. There is a Bharat and there's an India. We will look at India. We don't look at Bharat. India shines. Bharat doesn't always shine. So we're trying to put some light on Bharat. Let this talent grow. And we've got some great guys from there. So we've made this device. This device is it's with us now. We patented it. It's being run in several places now. So I think we've done a pretty good job there as far as reaching out to as many people as possible, not just the guys who have access to in the internet and electricity all the time. It's solar powered. So you can power it by the sun. Sun is a commodity which is not going anywhere. So you power it, use it, and keep reusing it. Eco-friendly and absolutely useful for everybody to the last mile.
Oh, wow. That's amazing, sir. That's an amazing initiative. So thank you so much, sir. These were the all questions which I would like to answer, ask you. And I hope listeners have learned a lot about the blockchain technology, and they can reach out to you and they can learn more about it. Absolutely. If they are interested in the technology. Thank you so much for giving us time. And it was amazing talking to you, sir.
Thank you. So, but it was a nice of you to take this initiative and take this message to so many people who would become the future of our nation.
Definitely, sir. Definitely. Thank you so much, sir. Well, that's all from today's episode. I hope you liked it. In case if you have any suggestion or feedback, you can reach out to me at various social media handles. I'm adding the link in the description. Until next time, stay safe and stay tuned.